Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 68 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Samantha Morrill.
If we're making traffic stops and we're having to touch items or have to search individuals that may have this on them and we don't have our gloves.
The continuing influx of fentanyl-laced heroin into Rowan County has Chief Deputy Joe Klein worried. Rowan County has a budget in place for the next year, and area police are gearing up for the summer travel season. In sports, area baseball and softball district tournament action begins tonight. Bud Luke has the stock report. Partly cloudy tonight with lows around 52 degrees. The complete forecast is coming up after this news. WKYT is reporting the death of a Moorhead man in a weekend crash in Lexington. The Fayette County coroner has identified the victim as 55-year-old Kenneth Bry Wilson. Police say Wilson was traveling on Leestown Road around 1:45 a.m. Saturday when his car crossed the center line and hit another vehicle. The coroner says speed likely played a part in the crash. The other victim, an unidentified woman, was taken to the hospital but is expected to recover. Another woman is dead after a single vehicle crash in McGoffin County. According to WYMT, County Coroner Mark Jenkins says the victim's car veered off the road and into a ditch around 8 a.m. Sunday on Route 7. The victim's name has not been released. Officials are still investigating the cause of the crash. Four members of a Lexington family have died from injuries suffered during a house fire. WKYT reports Jeffrey and Nancy Brown, as well as their 8-year-old daughter Cassie and 8-year-old son Wiley, died at the UK Medical Center from smoke inhalation and burns after their home caught fire early Saturday morning. More than 60 firefighters responded to the scene around 3:30 a.m. on Laurel Hill Drive. Battalion Chief Brad Whitaker is with the Lexington Fire Department.
There were no operable smoke detectors in the home. We'd like to think that it would have made a difference. So please, if nothing else, make sure you have operable smoke detectors in your home.
Crews spent significant time looking for a fifth member of the Brown family, another child. That child was later found in the neighborhood at their grandmother's house. Heavy rain and storms on Saturday resulted in widespread flooding throughout McGoffin County. Many homeowners began the cleanup process yesterday to remove the dirt, rocks, and mud that the floodwaters left behind. Carter Conley is the captain of the McGoffin County Rescue Squad.
Came up and it dropped just about as quick as it came up. We had damage. Person-wise, we didn't have anybody really seriously injured.
Conley says McGoffin County residents are hopeful they will be able to make repairs to their homes before the next round of rainfall. Two Garrison men have been indicted by a Lewis County grand jury for their alleged roles in the murder of a Vanceburg man. According to the Ashland Daily Independent, Preston and Wince Walters were charged in the March 23rd death of Justin Johnson. Preston Walters is charged with felony capital murder, 8 felony counts of tampering with physical evidence, and 1 misdemeanor count of abuse of a corpse. He is lodged in the Lewis County Detention Center. Wince Walters is charged with 4 tampering with physical evidence charges, a felony marijuana count, and 1 count of abuse of a corpse. He was freed on a $10,000 bond last week. Preston Walters is accused of shooting Johnson in a wooded area in Garrison. The two brothers allegedly attempted to cover up the crime in a variety of ways. The area's battle against heroin is only becoming tougher. Those words come from Rowan County Chief Deputy Joe Klein, who says versions of the drug containing the powerful additives fentanyl and carfentanil are making the situation even more dangerous for police officers who come across users and overdose victims.
We don't have our rubber gloves that, we issue to protect ourselves. We can just touch as they put out to us with the carfentanil. And the fentanyl, if one and just get a little bit on our skin and there's no opiate base within us, it could harm law enforcement also.
Klein says what's even scarier is that an even more dangerous version of heroin is starting to show up in eastern Kentucky. It contains acrofentanil, which it has proven in several cases to be resistant to Narcan, which is often used to help save the lives of overdose victims. The state forensics Forensics Lab in Frankfurt has identified 5 new analogs of fentanyl in recent tests. One of those new strains is acrofentanyl, and it's more resistant to naloxone and Narcan, the life-saving drugs used to reverse a fatal overdose. Emergency room Dr. Walter Lubbers tells WKYT a normal dose of naloxone isn't enough anymore.
What we're seeing now is an increase, at least again anecdotally, an increase uptick of people that come in that get a dose of naloxone, and that wears off and they fall back asleep, and they get another dose and they fall back asleep. Sometimes they get a third dose, or they get put on a continuous infusion of it even. And that, when I was a resident, you know, maybe 5-6 years ago, was occasionally it would happen, but it certainly wasn't the norm. And now you could kind of count on it happening at least fairly frequently with fair regularity.
At least one of the 5 new fentanyl analogs goes through the state lab on a daily basis, and the amount of fentanyl being tested there has doubled in the past 2 years. With the summer travel season starting with the Memorial holiday weekend, the Moorhead Police Department will start conducting traffic safety checkpoints around the city. Captain Kyle Callahan says the MPD's officers will be especially looking out for those driving under the influence.
We tend to do it at nighttime. You know, we'll do it throughout the city. We try to do them through the nighttime, and weekends seem to be that's kind of what we target, you know, a Friday or Saturday night, because more people, when we get into Memorial Day weekend, a lot of people have Memorial Day off, which is Monday. So, you know, Sunday seems to be a prime time to also try to do one of these checkpoints.
Callahan says Moorhead's police officers will also be looking for other motor vehicle violations as well. The checkpoints will be conducted from now through the end of June. Scammers looking to collect personal and financial information over the phone are trying out a new scheme in central Kentucky. The Better Business Bureau is reporting that scammers claiming to be from the Social Security Administration have placed calls in at least 2 Kentucky counties. Heather Clary is the BBB's spokesperson. She says the scammers threaten to cut off government benefits if the victims do not provide certain information.
A Mount Sterling couple actually fell for it and gave information about their Social Security numbers, their date of birth, and their bank account information to an individual who claimed to be with the Social Security Administration. That person did threaten to cut off their benefits if they didn't comply, so understandably these seniors were rattled and they did provide the information.
Clary says the couple later contacted their bank and the BBB to report the call. She adds that you can protect yourself from calls like these by never giving out personal information over the phone to an unfamiliar caller. Even if you think the call is legitimate, she says you can hang up and check the number before calling back. Rowan County now has a budget in place for the 2017-18 fiscal year. The magistrates passed the second reading of the nearly $12 million spending plan last week. Walter Blevins is the county's judge executive.
We're in pretty good shape. We've got quite a bit over $2 million in carry forward that can be used in cases, and we can come back and look at that. And that's not every government has that, but still, when you've got anything can happen, and you need to be prepared, and that's why we try to hold on to some of that money and keep it back in case we do have an emergency.
Blevin says the Rowan Fiscal Court did amend its budget slightly, giving the local extension service $20,000 for youth programs and providing the Rowan Fair Board with $4,000 this year. He notes the county will also have some extra money for blacktopping its roads in the next year. Health care reform will be passed. That's the view of Republican Senator and Kentuckian Rand Paul, who spoke to a crowd of medical professionals on the matter at a medical town hall at King's Daughters Medical Center in Ashland this weekend. According to WSAZ, Paul advocated for bringing more consumer choice into the health care marketplace, allowing individuals, businesses, and trade groups to bring costs down in co-ops.
If we're going to fix health care, I think it can't be the same thing we've always done. If you connect the consumer or the patient to buying things, they make wise decisions.
Some medical professionals, like Dr. Anna Murillo, take issue with Paul's position, saying they would like to see a shift towards covering everyone.
I'm disappointed that this is not the debate. I think all of us who see patients every single day and who understand, you know, the frustrations of trying to provide care, I think all of us echo that. The debate really should be how to do universal coverage.
Paul says he and other senators are currently working on reform legislation that will likely be released by mid to late summer. After 5 years of trying, Mason County has finally earned a key designation. MSPR's Chaz Jenkins reports.
According to the Maysville Ledger-Independent, Mason County is now listed as a work-ready community. This program from the State Workforce Innovation Board and the Kentucky Education and Workforce Development Cabinet tells employers that a local workforce has the talent and skills necessary to staff existing jobs, as well as mastering the innovative technologies new jobs will require. To become certified, a community must gather local support and commitment and apply for the work-ready designation. Counties have to meet the criteria in six areas, including high school graduation rates, national career readiness certificate holders, demonstrated community commitment, educational attainment, soft skills development, and digital literacy. Counties that are listed as being work ready need to be recertified every 3 years. For Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Chaz Jenkins.
Consider Fleming County Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy among the area officials who believes the new $1.3 billion Brady Industries aluminum plant in South Shore will have a wide-ranging positive effect on the region when it opens in 2020. The factory will initially create 1,000 jobs during its construction phase and then 550 full-time positions when it opens in 2020. It's reported another 10 to 12 plants that will produce parts and services for the Brady plant will also be built in the area. Foxworthy is keeping his fingers crossed that one of them will locate in Fleming County.
Location-wise, we're not that far away. You know, we're just about an hour away, a little more, hour and 10 minutes. So depending on the way you go. But anything like that has got to help the whole region as far as the economy is concerned. And we're certainly tickled to death to hear about it. And we'll do everything we can to make sure that some of our people can take advantage of it and get some of those pretty good-paying jobs.
Brady officials say the jobs at its South Shore plant will have an average pay of $70,000 a year. The Boyd County Detention Center's Inmate Garden provides food to the jail and food banks in the Ashland area. The garden recently acquired 4 more acres at no cost through a lease from a local organization. Lieutenant Gus Guzman, who oversees the program, says the jail is expecting to sell about $7,500 worth of vegetables this year, tripling the garden's 2016 income.
Basically, it's just to provide some food for the jail and for some of the food pantries around. We're usually out here 4 days a week, just, you know, in case of bad weather or anything like that usually. But we can usually get everything done we need in 4 days.
Guzman says 4 inmates do the field labor for the program. He calls it a win-win situation for both the jail and the inmates. The Kentucky Book Fair, which draws thousands each November, is moving to Lexington because of the pending demolition of the Frankfort Convention Center. Kentucky Humanities Project Manager Brooke Raby told the State Journal that there was no alternative site in Frankfort to host the event. The fair, which former State Journal editor Carl West founded in 1981, has historically been at the beginning of November, but will take place November 17th and 18th in several locations of Kentucky Horse Park's Alltech Arena. The fair attracts an average of 3,500 readers and 170 local and national authors. Raby said it was a disappointment to move the event from Frankfort and that the city could be considered in the future if a suitable location can be found. Saturday's 17th annual Repair Affair in Ashland is being hailed as a success. With the help of several volunteer groups, the organization Build Ashland helped 40 to 50 low-income or physically challenged local residents by mowing their lawns, along with doing some minor renovations and painting. One of the leaders of Build Ashland, Shannon Hill, tells the Daily Independent that you don't realize how tough things are for some people until you see it for yourself.
Let me tell you something. You just don't know until you go out and you sit down with these folks who's put in this application. Seriously, I mean, you don't know what kind of troubles they have, the needs that they have, the struggles they have in fulfilling those needs. And man, we bring a project like this together to help so many all at once. It's incredible.
Build Ashland and the city work together on this year's repair affair. The city budgets $10,000 a year for building supplies to assist with that effort. The month of May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and the Morehead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness is presenting a screening of Shattered Families, the Collapse of America's Mental Health System. The documentary examines mental health care since the 1960s, its decline, and ways it can be fixed. Carolyn Miller is a member of NAMI Morehead. She says the screening is part of NAMI's mission.
We have a sort of a threefold mission of advocacy, education, and support for people living with mental illness and their families. and we have a support group that meets the second Tuesday of each month. We offer programs usually once a month, such as this film, for education about all kinds of issues to do with mental health.
The documentary will be shown tomorrow night at the Rowan County Public Library from 6 to 7:30. Discussion will follow the film. And finally, in news, hotel rooms and camping sites in Hopkinsville are filling up fast in anticipation of a rare astronomical event. Paul Miles reports.
The Hopkinsville area will be among the best places in the world to watch a total solar eclipse on August 21st. Brooke Jung with the city tells WHOP they're expecting up to 100,000 visitors.
We are such a drivable location for so many cities in this area, so we know that we'll have a huge influx from Louisville and Cincinnati.
She says 60% of hotel rooms are already booked for the eclipse. I'm Paul Miles.
Taking a look at the area weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. For tonight, partly cloudy with lows around 52 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain throughout the day and highs around 75 degrees. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows near 57 degrees. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a 90% chance of thunderstorms during the day, highs around 71 degrees. And Thursday, cooler and cloudy with a 60% chance of rain showers and highs in the lower 60s. It is currently 69 degrees in Ashland, 67 degrees in Flemingsburg, it's 70 degrees in Inez, in Lexington it's 68 degrees, 67 degrees in Winchester, and right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 68 degrees. The time is 4:46. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. On our feature segment, a prestigious journalism program that documents life and culture in Kentucky is coming to Morehead in October. MSPR's Jacob Lindberg reports.
The city of Morehead will be the focus of dozens of photojournalists this fall as the 41st annual Mountain Workshops comes to town. Nationally renowned media experts will instruct students and working professionals from October 24th through the 29th during the workshops organized by Western Kentucky University.
Morehead will be the furthest east that we've gone, so we're hoping to kind of expand out further east. We're excited to be able to come to Morehead this year because this will, you know, we're really wanting to document the rest of the Commonwealth and get to the other side of the state where we haven't been yet.
That's program coordinator and photojournalist Miranda Pedersen. She says the goal of the program, in addition to skills training, is to tell honest stories about Morehead locals.
What I would like for people to know and understand is that it's not like we're coming there as like a paparazzi. We're not there to blanket the town with photographers like popping up and snapping your picture out of the blue. I mean, it isn't going to be disruptive to the community in any way.
Morehead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is excited about what the program can offer to his hometown.
There will be over 70 photojournalists that will be here, world-renowned, from Los Angeles Times, Washington Post, New York Times, all over the place, that will actually come and be the instructors. We'll have about 50 to 60 students that will pay several thousand dollars to come and be part of this. And the beautiful thing about it is they get real-life experience working under deadline pressure, but they will be documenting Morehead and Round County.
Trent says the city will receive about 300 soft cover books of photographs taken during the workshops, as well as a video and art exhibit.
It'll just be a great highlight of our community, and for me, it's well worth the pain and aggravation and frustration and trying to get everything lined up that it was the last 3 months to know that in the end, they're going to come in and do a great job in promoting Morehead and Round County, and that's something you just can't pay for.
Applications begin July 1st and are open to anyone interested. More information is available at mountainworkshops.org. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Jacob Lindberg.
The time is 4:49. This is Mountain Edition. All Things Considered comes up at 5 o'clock, but Braxton Howard has sports next.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The 61st District Baseball Tournament opens tonight in Frenchburg with two games. At 5:30, Round County faces Menifee County. The Vikings buried the Wildcats twice in the regular season by scores of 22-0 and 16-1. But round coach Keith Prater doesn't want his players focusing on that.
We just have to approach it in a way that we do what we do and not worry about who we play or what they do. And we go about it as normal business, to be honest with you, not necessarily worried about who's across the chest.
The Vikings finished the regular season at 6-0 against district opponents. In this evening's late contest, Bath County tingles with Fleming County. In other area districts tonight, in the 63rd at Russell, top-seeded Greenup County plays Raceland. Coach Greg Logan's Musketeers beat the Rams twice during the regular season, but only by a margin of 6-5 in the last matchup. Logan says his team can afford to take Raceland lightly.
Now it's one and done, so you can't have the off nights. You can't have the nights that you don't show up or, you know, the other team's going to advance. So we've got to prevent that. We're aware of that, and, you know, it's not always the best team. It's the team that shows up and plays the best that night. So that's got to be Greenup County, and that's our goal.
In the 64th District at Boyd County, Ashland Blazer battles Fairview, and the 62nd District first-round game between East Carter and Morgan County has been pushed back to tomorrow in West Liberty due to field conditions. Flemingsburg is the site of the 61st District Girls Fast Pitch Softball Tournament. First-round action starts tonight with Fleming County matching up with Menifee County. Round County's postseason opener is tomorrow at 6 as the Lady Vikings meet Bath County. Round coach Larry Sloan says his team had better be locked in mentally for every opponent.
It's a real good district. We have three really solid teams. We split with Bath, and we've only played Fleming once. We lost it 4-2. It's a very equal toss-up district.
The Lady Vikings split two tight regular season games with Bath, beating the Lady Cats 3-1 in the first contest, but losing in the second 2-1. The Morehead State baseball team starts OVC tournament action on Wednesday. The event's second seed, the 34-21 Eagles, will face the winner of Tuesday's UT Martin-Austin Peay contest. And heading down to Oxford, Alabama, MSU coach Mike McGuire believes a couple of things will play in his ball club's favor.
I think, one, we played a series down there 2 weeks ago, so we're familiar with the venue. And then secondly, I'm running a lineup out there for the most part that 8 out of the 9 guys have played in the tournament before. And so it's not going to be, foreign territory to us. You know, most of this lineup, played every day in the tournament last year.
As McGuire noted, MSU recently played in Oxford, losing 2 of 3 games against Jacksonville State. The Cincinnati Reds are at Great American Ballpark tonight to get a series started with the Cleveland Indians at 7:10. The Reds are just 2-8 in their last 10 games, including a 6-4 loss to Colorado yesterday. With the starting pitchers for the Reds averaging just 5 innings pitched per game this season, veteran Bronson Royal says he and the rest of the starters have to take pressure off of the bullpen.
You know, in a perfect world, we make it through the seventh all the time, and really, we've gotten only a handful of those all year. So, I mean, the bullpen has been taxed from day one. We know we got a better bullpen than most as far as being able to get max innings out of the back end. You know, guys can throw multiple innings. But with that being said, I mean, you can't keep running these guys out there that much and expect to have fresh arms in August and September. So, you know, if we don't pick the pace up here soon, man, it's going to be a long season for those guys down there and for us as well.
2-4 Scott Feldman will take the mound for the Reds. The Indians will go with 2-5 Josh Tomlin. In the NBA, the Golden State Warriors will look to remain undefeated in the playoffs and finish off a sweep of the San Antonio Spurs in the Western Conference Finals tonight at 9 in San Antonio. And Atlanta Hawks power forward Paul Millsap has opted out of his contract and will become a free agent this summer. The Cincinnati Bengals are into their first round of OTAs up in the Queen City. Running back Jeremy Hill says 2017 will be a season of great expectations for the Bengals, and he believes they have the offensive firepower to live up to them.
Skill position-wise, we're probably one of the more talented offenses in this league, starting with Andy, who's a veteran quarterback at this point and has a lot of experience. So, expectations are high. I think we got the group of men in this locker room to achieve our goals. But, you know, it starts every day, and that's competing and doing the things that we do every day. So, like I said, I'm excited to go out there and see our offensive line and just see everything come together.
The Bengals have OTAs today and tomorrow, and then again on Thursday. They'll go for a few more days next week, starting on Tuesday. And finally, in sports, the field is set for the big race at the Brickyard. AP correspondent Tim McKay reports.
It's Scott Dixon, Ed Carpenter, and Alexander Rossi on the first row for the 101st running of the Indianapolis 500. Dixon, who won the 2008 500, took the pole at 232 miles per hour, the fastest qualifying speed since 1996. It's the New Zealander's third Indianapolis pole. Defending 500 champ Alexander Rossi, in only his second year here, qualified at 231 miles per hour. Two-time Formula One champ Fernando Alonso in his first 500 started starts fifth. Tom McCabe, Indianapolis.
That's it for sports for Moorhead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Time is 4:54. You're listening to Mountain Edition. Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. The annual celebration of MSU Athletics golf outing is on Saturday, June 3rd at Eagle Trace Golf Course. 18 holes of golf, door prizes, continental breakfast, lunch, and refreshments. Sponsorships, reservations, and more information from the MSU Office of Alumni Relations and Development at 877-690-4483.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks rose as President Trump continued his first trip abroad since taking office, and the market's reacting so far very positively to his trip, with the Dow today finishing with a gain of 89.99 at 20,894.83. The S&P 500 was up 12.29 at 2394.02, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 49.92 at 6133.62. New York Stock Exchange breadth was roughly 2-1 in favor of winning stocks over losers. Trump's visit to Israel today comes after the president visited Saudi Arabia over the weekend, and that trip ended with a multi-billion-dollar arms deal. Defense-related stocks popped on the back of the arms deal, with the iShares U.S. Aerospace and Defense Exchange-Traded Fund rising almost 1%. Also, private equity firm Blackstone announced the creation of a $40 billion infrastructure investment fund with Saudi Arabia's Public Investment Fund, which is the country's main sovereign wealth fund, and Blackstone's share spiked more than 6% on the news. In Europe, the Stoxx 600 index was down slightly, down about a tenth of a percent, while in Asia, the Nikkei was up almost a half a percent, the Hang Seng was up seven-eighths of a percent, and Shanghai was down one-half a percent. In the commodities markets, oil was up eight-tenths of a percent to finish at $50.81 a barrel, and gold was up one-half a percent at $1,260.30 an ounce. In regard to Dow industrial stocks today, your winners were Boeing and 3M, and your losers were Pfizer and DuPont. In the S&P 500, the best-performing stocks were Brown-Forman and Corvo, and the worst performers in the S&P 500 were Advanced Micro Devices and Advanced Auto Parts. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated down $1.53 at $63.48, CSX up $1.08 at $51.46, AEP up $0.69 at $69.41, AK Steel was unchanged at $5.55, Marathon Petroleum up $0.18 at $52.96, and Community Trust Bank was up $0.55 to finish at $42.50 a share. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Another look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area tonight. Partly cloudy, lows around 52 degrees. Tomorrow, partly cloudy skies with a slight chance of rain throughout the day, highs around 75. For Tuesday night, partly cloudy, lows near 57 degrees. On Wednesday, mostly cloudy skies with a 90% chance of thunderstorms throughout the day, highs around 71 degrees. And on Thursday, cooler and cloudy with a 60% chance of rain showers and highs in the lower 60s. And that's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from MSPR staff Chuck Meraz, Braxton Howard, Ashley Davidson, Jacob Lindberg, and Chaz Jenkins. From the Kentucky News Network, Paul Miles. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For all of the MSPR News team, I'm Samantha Morrill for Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.